Lampphone can see your conversations. Facial recognition bans are trending. And Honda was hit with ransomware. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings! I am Shannon Morris, and this is ThreatWire for June 16, 2020. This is your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. On to the news! It seems like anything is possible when it comes to air-gapped hacks, and every time there's a new one, all I can think is it can't get any weirder than this. But this one is very weird, and it's kind of different as well because it focuses on audio surveillance. A team of researchers from Ben Gurion University and the Wiseman Institute of Science have found a way to spy on secret conversations happening in a private space by observing light bulbs, even through a window, and measuring the light emitted. Now, this is a side channel attack technique that can be used to snoop on the audio from a room just by an overhead bulb. The researchers are planning to present this research and their white paper at Black Hat USA 2020. However, you can read the paper online right now. Now, they are calling this hack Lampphone. And it works by tracking teeny tiny sound waves at fractions of degrees via an electro-optical sensor that is positioned directly at the bulb, and it can be used to recover speech or audio waves from things such as music or conversation. It boils down to the ability to see air pressure fluctuations that occur all the time whenever sound waves hit a surface, and thus the researchers can record changes in the bulb's output from these tiny vibrations. The researchers give an example of being able to steal a credit card number as it's spoken, but this could be used to steal practically any information, especially if a speaker considers a space to be secure enough to audibly say private information. The research paper describes the setup. They use a telescope for viewing the room, an electro-optical sensor mounted to the telescope that converts light from the bulb into electrical currents, an analog-to-digital converter since the data from the sensor is analog, and lastly, a laptop that processes the data. The raw data is isolated using band stop filtering, normalization, noise reduction, and an equalizer. They successfully retrieve data by sitting in a pedestrian bridge and pointing their tech at an office 25 meters away, where they played a couple of test audio tracks, like songs, and a recorded statement. This is passive and requires no malware. Both of the songs and the statement were recognized by the Shazam recognizing app and Google's text API. The final recordings captured do sound a little bit eerie since they aren't 100% clear and they have lots of background noise. You can actually listen to them in a video which is linked below in one of the articles, but it was enough to determine the conversation. Reducing light emitted in a secure room or using a heavier bulb to reduce the physical vibrations can both be reasonable countermeasures according to the researchers. Or I would recommend using a windowless space for secure communications as well. Several tech companies are joining forces to either ban or put a moratorium or a temporary prohibition on the use of facial recognition by police or law enforcement officers. IBM CEO posted a public letter to Congress in regards to racial justice reform on June 8th, detailing policy proposals as well as information regarding the company's choice to sunset their general purpose facial recognition and analysis software products. CEO Krishna stated, quote, IBM firmly opposes and will not condone uses of any technology, including facial recognition technology offered by other vendors, for mass surveillance, racial profiling, violations of basic human rights and freedoms, or any purpose which is not consistent with our values and principles of trust and transparency. Shortly after, Amazon also hopped on board with their own statement, saying the company is putting a one-year moratorium on police use of Amazon's facial recognition technology, which is called Recognition. Organizations including Thorn, the International Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and Marinus Analytics would continue to have access to help with human trafficking issues. Amazon did not send a letter to Congress, and they only offered assistance by saying they, and I quote, stand ready to help if requested. Microsoft later joined this trend at the end of last week, saying the company will be halting sales of facial recognition to police police departments. In a virtual event, Microsoft President Brad Smith stated the halt in sales would stay in place until a national law regulating this technology was actually implemented. But even with this movement, a major player still continues to back facial recognition technology, and that is Clearview AI, which just so happens to be a company that has come under fire in the last year due to their own facial recognition application. Now, while facial recognition studies have shown that applications of this technology have low accuracy rates for women and minorities, the CEO of Clearview AI refutes this, stating that their technology does not have any risk of racial bias. The debate over facial recognition continues, with many cities banning its use and privacy advocates arguing that the tech could be used for invasive surveillance. At this time, no national law exists regulating facial recognition, but ethical principles do exist within the Protection of Freedoms Act of 2012, which were created by the Biometrics Commission. Before we hit story number three, I wanted to say thank you so much to my supporters over at patreon.com/threatwire. Check out these new fur baby photos from my Hush Puppy perk level patrons, who are totally awesome for sending them in. I love them. Thank you so much for sending them. Keep them coming. Also, a new perk has been added to the Threatwire Patreon page. So now anyone who becomes a patron at any of the different perk levels will get access to ongoing discounts for my online store over at snubsy.com/shop. So you will get anywhere between 10 to 20% off any merch, any show stickers, digital photography, t-shirts, anything, just for becoming a Patreon supporter at any level. I also have Threatwire swag available over on my online store through Teespring over on youtube.com/ShannonMorse, and I will put that link down below. Now, there is so much to cover in security and privacy, and I never have time to discuss everything in these episodes, so if you do want to see me cover more InfoSec news as an audio podcast, or even a second episode of Threatwire each week, check out the next Patreon goals to see how you can help make that happen. Honda was hit with ransomware. On Tuesday of last week, Honda stopped much of its manufacturing to deal with a ransomware attack that affected production operations at some U.S. plants. According to a spokesperson, no personally identifiable information was stolen in the attack, and by the time it went public, most of the production plants resumed operations or they were working towards resuming operations. This attack included factories in Ohio, Turkey, India, and South America. The operations in Japan were not affected. Honda had originally halted many plant operations due to the pandemic, so the cyber attack actually delayed openings at a few of the physical locations. The attack was discovered around the same time that a Twitter user posted a virus total link showing that someone submitted a sample of the Snake ransomware that checked mds.honda.com, which is likely an internal domain within Honda's network. Now, Snake ransomware is focused on ICS and SCADA networks and systems, and is suspected to have hit both Honda and an energy company in South America, which is called Enel Argentina. The malware was first discovered back in January, and it was published by Malware Hunter Team. Luckily, Honda has a car inspection system that checks for defects within automobiles before they ship them, and this system was not affected and the data was not accessed by the attacker. Now, the issue was originally discovered early on Monday of last week, with the published information being released late Tuesday of last week. Honda was also affected by ransomware back in 2017, when a plant was shut down in Japan after finding the WannaCry ransomware on part of their network. Before I leave, I want to say thank you so much to Bradley, Kwaku, Dylan, and JFX2006, who joined the Patreon team this week. Thank you so much to each and every one of you. You are so awesome for supporting the show. And with that, do not forget to like and subscribe. I'm Shannon Morse, and I will see you on the internet.